This is Kevin Campbell, and you're listening to Chewing the Cud with the Irish Toffees. Come on, you Blues!
Welcome along, folks, to the next episode of Chewing the Cud. Today we're going to look back at another win. Away at Burnley, 4 in a row, 4 clean sheets. And that's the good part of the show. And then we'll talk about last night's exit in the Carabao Cup to Fulham on penalties. Just the three of us today, myself, Richie and Colly. Afternoon, boys.
How are you, boys? How are things?
All good. Well, to go, like I said, the good bit, we'll get out of the way first. The Burnley game. Like we spoke a few times, Colly. Team sheet, it's kind of an episode in itself. Kane and Godfrey come in. And that, not that it was a surprise with the suspensions and injuries, but the fact that he went 3 at the back, that kind of threw a lot of people, because we've been kind of a flat back 4 for basically most of the season. So to go, well, I say 3 at the back when we didn't have the ball, it ended up at 5 with McNeil tucking in. But yeah, that 3 at the back was a bit of a curveball.
Do you think it was probably the only option he had to go with? Obviously, as you were saying, suspensions and, you know, one or two injuries, Joe. You know, we spoke about this pre-pod, and it just goes to show you how thin, let's say, the squad is, you know, on numbers. I in fairness, I won a few quid off Kane. I had a back to any time goal scorer at 9-1, so I got a few quid back coming up to Christmas, yeah. But look, overall, any great shakes. Certainly nothing like the Burnley that he would have gotten under Deutsch when he was there, in fairness, to a poor side job. But I thought we dominated the game from start to finish, particularly the first half. I thought we were very, very impressive. The overall gameplay, the game plan was excellent. I just thought everything clicked in the first half. Second half, I thought we controlled the game, and we just seen it out for the win. And I felt we were very impressive and could have gone up another gear or two if needed to. I think Burnley had possibly one shot on target, but if it had gone in, it would have been offside. And then obviously the Ben Godfrey the clearance off the line. It really was. And in fairness to the two lads that came in, Kane and Godfrey, I thought they did well. Slotted in well. So yeah, overall, look, it's another 3 points. It's another away win. We certainly didn't get them a few seasons ago or over the last few seasons. So we take a job, we take the 3 points and we go on to the next game, you know. But overall, very satisfactory in my opinion.
Yeah, I think the key, we said before, is that we're at a stage now where squad players that come in or lads off the bench, they kind of, they dovetail in. There's no like dip in performance, if you want. But Kane and Godfrey, I mean, I thought Kane was man of the match myself, but Godfrey was a close second. So they just slotted in there.
Yeah, great to see for boys who have pretty much nothing played. I suppose Keane played a bit at the start, but Ben Godfrey's hardly kicked the ball all season. And to come in and to be that effective is, you know, it's a credit to him. But yeah, slotted in, you can see basically that there's clearly a lot of work still going in training and that they are ready to be called on. You know, I suppose we saw last night that Brantwaite is going to come in, but it just shows, I know we're saying that yes, the fellas can come in and that you're not going to get a massive dip, but I think our squad has shown now how kind of how light on the ground we are. Missing Mikulenko, Ashley Young probably our backup left back, and we don't have somebody to go across. To be fair to Brantwaite, when he went left back last night, phenomenal again, but you don't want to be putting him out there. You know, he needs to be central. But yeah, the lads that came in, Keane again, I suppose for a fellow who gets a lot of stick, everything he done was fantastic on Saturday. He was really, really good, really composed. Got the goal, you know, like he's doing it every weekend, you know. But just not even the finish, but the technique, you know, on the first shot, yeah. and the know how to say, right, if he does, I'm going to be, you know, he was chasing it down. You know, he wasn't just standing looking at it, and he was forced to the break. And but yeah, in his defensive capabilities, his passing was on point as well. And we're all quick to slate him. So I thought he was really, really good, and he deserves the plaudits on it and deservedly man of the match on it. As Colly said as well, Godfrey, I think that clearance, whether it was a making of his own doing is another thing. If he should he have been a bit more aware of the fellow running behind him, but yeah, to be able to do that was it was the timing as well. I thought was massive of it. If they'd have got one just before the break, just changes the mentality a little bit. But yeah, just really, really comfortable. And just on as well, I think we had been quick to kind of criticize Dyche about kind of in-game management. I thought he got that spot on, got our goals, didn't need to do any more, shut it up. And from going from a 3 to 5 kind of second half, a lot more defensive, I thought it was perfect, you know. And look, wasn't great to watch, but who cares if you're 2-0 up?
Absolutely, yeah. A lot of neutrals, mates of mine said, piss poor games. So I'd take a piss poor 2-0 victory all day long. It's not, again, we speak ourselves about stats this and stats that, and like you rightly said, Rich, the only stat that matters is what's in the top right hand corner, the goal. So again, and the clean sheet, that's just icing on top of the cake. The thing about the 3 at the back, call solid enough, but it gave Patterson on one side, McNeil the other side, the chance to absolutely bomb on and just ping balls into the box. Like, McNeil has been doing it a lot. But Patterson, it just gave him that freedom to just get up the wing and whip balls in.
Yeah, and I do think that's Patterson's natural position, Joe. I think he's more of a right wing back rather than a full back. Again, it's just my opinion, you know, because he has that safety net as such of someone behind him that he can get up and down the wing. And if he makes a mistake, well, look to someone there to hopefully clear up his mistake. He's done well, though, since he's come in, Patterson. I thought he's come on and he is taking his opportunity. I don't think he will be the number one just yet. Obviously, Seamus is still out or has just gone back out, obviously, with a minor knock. I would suggest Seamus will come back in. Will Ashley Young come back in? Who knows? But, it certainly works, Joe. And as you said yourself, it's a 3 or a 5, depending on whether we're on attack or obviously we're facing up to them, you know, that kind of way. But again, as Richie said, I thought Deutsch's tactics worked. And I worked against Villa away as well a few months ago as well, you know.
Yeah, that's the thing. The options we have now, and I have to say, Harrison kind of dovetailed well, Richie, with McNeil, because with Patterson. When Patterson went on, Harrison just kind of, like Collie said, just tucked in behind him just to give him that option of, like, if he loses the ball and mess up, there's someone there to cover up. And we haven't had that for a while, to be honest, because it was either someone bombing on and someone going with him and no one tucking in behind. It's easy to ask the set to have to do it, but if you have someone else there, like Harrison, it helps big time.
Yeah, I think it's one of the, you know, we all know that it's a must have from a Sean Dyche. If you're being selected, you're just going to work hard. You're not just going forward, but coming back as well. I think on Saturday it worked. I thought last night that the right hand side was very respectable. So that stuck in my head, and it's hard to say. And I thought the two were weak last night. But on that then as well, I think that the opposition has to be taken into account. Burnley are really, really poor side, you know, and you'll get away with to a certain level. You know, Fulham are playing well, and I don't want to be jumping ahead and talking about it, but
yeah.
You know, but I still think there's work to do on that right hand side in both of them. But you know, you look at the left and you look at the way Mikulenko and McNeil have developed a partnership, and I think that's what you want to do when it's having, and it takes time. Mikulenko's been pretty much a mainstay in the side for 2 seasons or so now, you know, and Patterson will probably need that run of games whenever it'll come, but he needs to, for me, it's position, and I think he gets caught an awful lot, kind of out of position. But yeah, and he's always going to have that support in a Dyche side where you have whoever's ahead of him to being able to track back, and it just gives that extra bit of security. So I think there's a bit of work to do to get to the standard that we have on the left-hand side. But for now, I'd be the same as Colly. I think Coleman will probably come back in if he's fit the weekend or whenever he is ahead of him. But on Saturday, to go back to it, yeah, I thought that they were okay. But I think a lot of it is down to the opposition to Burnley or Foreside.
I think everyone said that. That was piss poor, really. I think, in fairness to Harrison, he's been playing with like 3 different players. There's no consistency there. So I think that I thought Patterson done okay. So I don't see a reason to drop him, to be honest. And I think he's only going to benefit him and Harrison. Both of them will only benefit if he gets a run of games. So, but I'd be inclined to keep him in there unless he gets injured, obviously. But I wouldn't see any reason to bring someone else in just for the sake of it. So, I don't know. Again, game time builds confidence, and like I said, McNeil and Mikulenko have been basically together all season, so they built up that little partnership. So I think if you leave someone, whether it be Coleman or Patterson, leave someone there for a length of time, whether it be 6, 7, 8 games, they can build up that. They get to know what each other does. There's no point playing, all right, Harrison kind of plays there all the time, but there's no point having a different player every week behind them, because they probably do the same thing, but each player has their own little nuances and things to do. So I think if he gets to know Patterson and vice versa, that it can only benefit both of them and us, of course. So, but that, again, he's young, but you can only learn by getting on the pitch, really.
How are you finding Harrison, Joe? How'd you find Harrison?
Again, he works hard.
Very hard, yeah.
Yeah, he works hard, but he's just missing that. I don't know what it is. It's similar to Richard saying about Keane. He can slay them and say this, and then he put out, like the ball he put in a couple of weeks ago for Mikulenko. Like he has that ball in him, but he just seems to be very hit and miss. He's not consistent. That's the word I'm looking for, I suppose. He's not as you say a lot of times, he's not a 7 or 8 out of 10 every week.
I think he's a bit erratic, isn't he? Kind of, yeah. Everything is 100 miles an hour, and sometimes he lunges into tackles and he just gets caught because he's almost at a sprint. Control can be off sometimes as well, but I think for his work rate alone, he's pressing kind of when we had the right bodies around him as well. You know, he probably works well with Corey in the side because he's able to kind of get around and cover him and stuff. But he's been okay, but not phenomenal by any means. You know, no, I don't think he's been outstanding. I expected a little bit more kind of quality wise, but still, I think his work rate is something that we've lacked. And I think it just helps bring the standard of people's kind of work rate around him when you've a fella kind of putting in that type of effort.
I find him over eager. I know it sounds ridiculous. I think he just tries too hard. Similar to Beto. He just tries too hard, and it doesn't come naturally to him, where he's kind of
I've seen him referred to as a Joris Bunny. And it's probably not it's not a bad way to describe him in the nicest possible way.
Well, I take that, to be honest, over some lazy bastard doing nothing.
Yeah.
Like Dan Gilmer, again, I don't want to. They're polar opposites. Harrison will run and run and run all day. Dan Gilmer just comes across as just too nonchalant, too late. Not lazy, might be a bit strong, but he just doesn't have the work rate Harrison has. Or McNeil. Probably be why he's not getting in the side. So I take a George Salaboni all day long, but it's just that little bit of finesse or clinical finishing or crossing, whatever. But I think it will come. Now, whether it'll stay with us, another thing. That's whether you have the money to make the deal, a permanent one. I don't know. But I think he's done okay. It's been a good signing. Not like Richie said, not setting a world alight, but it's been a good sign, in it, and it gives that work rate. That's what you all look for. You just look for someone to bust the balls and just run and run. So he's doing it, but we just need a little bit of extra
quality.
Yeah, that little extra 10 or 15%. It's just on that call, like the ball's coming in now. Dice said from the outset what he wanted was whether it be wingers or wing backs to put the ball in the box for Calvert-Lewin. And they've been doing that now, in fairness. But you know, we're not getting it to Slade. But Dan was just missing chance after chance. And that header against Burnley, all right, the keeper got down bad, but he should be burying chances like that. Like, that's meat and drink to someone like him. So I'm just wondering, is his confidence like seeping down a bit?
Yeah, I heard last night he hasn't scored since October, I think, Joe.
Yeah.
I know don't want to really segue yet into the game last night, but just how he looked exhausted last night, I really did. And maybe it's the time was upon us to, we've obviously quite a lot of games over a very short period of time. Would you consider putting Beto into that kind of role? Yeah, I tend to agree with you. Maybe it is the confidence, is the tiredness. Obviously, there's a new child has just come along, and every one of us knows, you know, the sleepless nights and whatever, you know, the kind of way. So, not obviously that's not an excuse by any stretch of the imagination. But I just last night I thought he was dead on his feet after maybe 60, 50 even. He's not getting. The service is going in there, but it's a good service. You know, balls are being crossed over. We've stats to prove that, but, you know, are they good crosses? But again, I think it was Patterson that sent in that ball for the header. He should have scored with that, Joe, you know, the kind of way. For someone of his ability who's proved it in the past, that should have been buried. Does he need a goal? Maybe. You know, is this playing on his mind that he hasn't scored in so long, a couple of weeks? I think we've often used the phrase of this, even if he scored with his arse, went out with his arse and just went over the line, might just give him a boost. You know, you see what's after happening with Beto after the Chelsea goal, and you know, Beto was a good sign, and I know he's probably not there just yet with the Premiership, but it allows us to play the same system without having to change the formation, you know, the kind of way. So I personally might consider just throwing Beto in for the next game, giving Dom a rest, put him on the bench and bring him on for maybe 20 minutes, you know, the kind of way. And just to see if we can, you know, freshen him up a bit. I know people are probably listening to this podcast saying, but he's playing this game and he's not playing for another 3 or 4 days and stuff like that. Given the injury that he had and the length of time that he's out, and again, I'm not making excuses for the chap, but I just thought last night, Joe, he looked tired. That's just the way I see it, anyway, you know.
Yeah, I think, again, I don't want to slay players, we're just here to talk about it. He's missing like a good chance every game, Rich. Like, obviously, the one against Burnley, but we're getting away with it, because and then the one against Chelsea, where
Newcastle was it.
Not the one against Chelsea where he went through and keeper saved and they came out with the Cardi, put it in.
Oh, yeah, sorry, I'm thinking Newcastle, where he had it in his chest and he ballooned it over the bar.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? That's normal. And then against, was it United? I think he missed from about 2 yards out. So, yeah, I'm just wondering, is it a mixture of confidence or is it a mixture of similar to what? Like, he's trying too hard now. Like, it's weighing on his mind. So, like Collie said, putting in Beto, I wouldn't see it as him being dropped. I wouldn't class it as being dropped. I just think Beto's scoring, Beto's in form, his confidence is up. So just try it.
Yeah, I think it's a case of just needing a goal. I don't think that his standards have dropped. I thought they all looked a bit leggy last night, to be honest. So I wouldn't single him out for that. And it can be thankless, you know, up front and the change of shape maybe not helping things, but I don't see anything wrong with giving a fella a break either. You know, he did have the break against Forest where he was injured, but still, it's as much football in probably a month as he's played in seasons. Like, you know, that there's probably 9 or 10 games that he's played in the last 6 weeks. So, it's probably no harm again coming into a period where there'll be another kind of glut of games. So. Yeah, I wouldn't see anything wrong with kind of saying here, as Collie said, kind of sit it out for an hour and that you have him to fall back on. And it might do him good kind of mentally to say, right, I've got to go in and I've got to do something, and Beto might get a bit of confidence. And I think that's why you have a squad. You know, that's why we're paying 25 million for a fella to say, right, here's your opportunity to go in and that you have someone to rely on. So I think Calvert-Lewin has been excellent all season. You know, I think he makes us a better side. He just kind of, he's hold up plays from it. But I think, you need a break sometimes. And I'm not saying that he does need a break, but I wouldn't be against it if he got it. I think Beto's probably done. That Beto was really good when he came on last night. And I know we're jumping between games. So I think just to give him the opportunity, you know, that there's nothing wrong with it. And even depending on how he mixes it and who's available, put him up alongside him. You know, maybe give him something to feed off. He's saying it'll happen at some stage, you know, but, you know, maybe he wants to go that way and that he can do the dog work for him or some of the dog work or just share it off. So, it happens. You know, I think strikers, it's a case of needing a goal, but he's gone since West Ham. Is it the last goal he got? That's 5-6 weeks ago, maybe more. So there's been a lot of games in that time. And I think it's just a case of needing one and he'll kick on again.
Yeah, I don't slate him at all because he's, again, even though he's not scoring, he's working the defences. Like, he's dragging defenders out of the way for other players to, again, we'll get into the Fulham game. But at the end of the day, if you're a striker and you're not scoring, and a striker that comes on to take his place is scoring, I don't see anything wrong with just, like, we've 4 or 5 games now, just put better in for one of them. Again, it won't be a slight on Dom. Just say, listen, he might need a little bit of a rest, and we'll give this chap who was scoring and who's eager and is shown. Again, on the flip side, I don't like this idea if a chap comes on and scoring goals and is not getting a chance. So I think give Beto a chance, see what happens. And whether Dom needs a rest or not, or I don't think he's lost the hunger. That's the main thing. But I don't know whether it's confidence or unlucky. I don't know. So, but listen, if we take him out for one game or so, and then he comes back and then starts banging them in, so don't see. And then on the flip side, if Beto comes in and starts banging the goals in, he keeps the jersey. You know, so it has to be done for the team rather than a lad. And I don't think Dice has any problems with taking lads out of the firing line, to be honest. He's the team's, which he should do, he's the team's interest first and foremost. All right, we'll leave the Burnley one there. Actually, just want to talk about the couple of goals. We spoke about Keynes already, but Onana, the jump for the header, Collie, from the corner, I mean, Jesus, he got up so high. And again, someone said keeper was poor. I heard Shea Given slating the keeper for the goal. But listen, when he got up that high, you deserve to put your head on the ball and put it in the net.
Yeah, look, that keeper, that keeper is only 21 or 22. And in regards to age as a keeper in Premiership teams, it's extremely young, Joe. He may need to build himself up a bit. And, you know, I heard one commentator say that he's a bit sly for the keeper, but you got to hand it to Onana. Again, I'm segueing into last night's match the penalty, or the dreadful penalty that he took, and which basically resulted in us being eliminated from the cup. But, you know, people are saying, oh, he doesn't care about the club and all that. But then some of the comments I'm reading, you know, the player doesn't jump up that high if he doesn't give a shit about the result or if he's not committed to it, you know, the kind of way. And I suppose it is one way to look at it. I can only give my personal opinion on Onan. I think he's a terrific player, Joe. I think he may financially save the club in a year or two's time. But it was a terrific jump. I think that the lad has it in abundance. His ability on the ball to keep the ball moving is just terrific. And he's a player that I think with Garner alongside him, it's a terrific duo we have in the centre of the park. For me, look, again, everyone that listens to this, or you have your own opinion, Joe, on him, Richie, Chris, they all have their opinion. I think he's a terrific player. And it was certainly... he's 6'4", I think, the lad. He must have gotten up about over 8 foot to get that ball, Joe, you know. Yeah. But again, the keeper was flapping them a bit, but we can only play who we're up against. And for me, it was a great goal.
I thought it took well, really did. Again, I think Shea Given was just looking at the goalkeeper's union. And no, it's similar to matches last few weeks, looking at the opposition's mistakes rather than giving Everton credit, which seems to be the team shield, whole media now at the moment. We get no credit at all for victories. As always, Newcastle are they've injuries. Chelsea are out from Burnley's keeper is shit. Nothing about Everton, but anyway,
you got to give McNeil credit as well, because we've obviously looked at their keeper and said, do you know what?
Correct.
He's small, he's light. He'll struggle if we put big bodies in around him, and have done so. Yeah. And McNeil has put it on the spot, and we've got to get that pinpoint, and we did. So it's all well and good looking at their negative, but that's what our stats have done. They've gone away. They've looked at Burnley's right. There's a weakness there, and we've capitalised on it. And you're right. Like, you know, we still have to pull it off. And Onana should be doing it more if he's 6'4". I think that's his third goal, is it? For us, two against Burnley this season and one against Southampton. But yeah, I think he needs to be getting more, given the size of him, given how physical and imposing he can be in the box. But you know, I thought it, yeah, great ball, great finish.
Yeah, exactly. All right, we move on to last night. We have to kind of get this out of the way. We mentioned a couple of times, Rich, that we're just tired, lethargic, not at it. And it was just as a group, we just looked tired. A colleague said before, come on, like running on empty. Just no, I saw Brantway kind of done well on the left hand side. He kind of got forward a lot. He had a good chance with a header nearly. But I just think we looked tired last night. And just you know, we didn't have that tempo which we've gotten used to the last few weeks.
I think the game in general just lacked a spark. It never really kicked into gear, because Fulham were the same. You know, it just didn't get going, whether it needed an early goal or something to bring it to life. But it didn't really happen for us. You know, I still thought we were, I won't say dominating. You know, we probably had more possession than we've had in any game of late, like, which is, again, maybe doesn't suit us, because we just don't have that killer instinct on what to do with it. But yeah, I totally agree. Just thought that it was that little bit flat, you know, especially when you're coming into it on such a high. But it's a lot of games that we've played, small squad, couple of bodies missing. It's going to take its toll at some stage, and it's really disappointing for it to happen last night, because there's such an opportunity there. You know, I think that's the gutting thing at the end of it, is that you're missing out in the semi-final. But look, it's not the end of the world. It's really disappointing, but it's not the end of the world. I think we know what our goals are for the season. It's just a big opportunity missed. And a pity, because if you've opportunities to shake it up and you're saying, right, do we need a spark? You know, I suppose it's easy to look at it every now and say, right, should we bring it in the likes of Dobbin, bringing in someone else who might kind of give you that little bit of, I don't know, say spark again, you know, that little bit of life to just try to change things and to do something different. But it didn't happen. Disappointing. But yeah, for me, it's just one of those things. It's not the end of the world.
It's not the end of the world, Carl, but I think it just kind of, it's not bust the bubble as such. I think it's taking a bit of air out of the balloon, shall we say.
Yeah.
Because I think, like, to have like a semi-final to look forward to over the Christmas period would have just, like, given the club such a boost. And I just feel it was a chance, a real big, big chance missed. Because Fulham are poor. They're in form lately, but, like, I mean, they got bounced last week. Your man missing Jimenez. I just thought it was a great chance for us to do, especially at home, just to get into a semi-final and lift the whole. Not that we didn't need lifting, to be honest, because the form we're in is superb. But I just thought it's a one that got away from us.
I couldn't agree with you more, Joe, to be honest with you. You know, we had such high expectations going into the game last night. I just hate Fulham. I really do. As twice they've come to Goodison this season and turned us over. And twice they were the poorest side of the two, you know. It's frustrating, Joe. And yeah, like, I'm looking at my work schedule for next year thinking, oh, yeah, I'm off now the weekend of the Carling Cup final. And I'll start, you know, like, when I would have begged, stolen, borrowed to get over to it, you know, because that's what you were thinking, you know. And I'm sure I wasn't the only Evertonian last night looking at our possible semi-finalists, and you have Middlesbrough in there and Chelsea, and then obviously the other matches on tonight. And, you know, and bang, we just, you know, when you wanted it, when you needed them just to show up and give us that one important win, Joe, you know, the kind of way, like, oh, please, lads, do it for us tonight. And I just didn't think it was a good team performance last night, Joe. You know, from the whole side, for me, kind of just maybe was it maybe they all were maybe a five or six last night in some respects, Joe. You know, we had our chances. Fulham had registered maybe only a very, very small number of chances on goal in the initial 90, Joe, you know. It's just so frustrating. It really is. So, so frustrating. That lad at the back for Fulham, I can't pronounce his name. We were talking about obviously Calvert-Lewin earlier in the podcast. Calvert-Lewin didn't get a sniff of the ball last night. But actually, we tried to sign him. Talking about coming back to haunt us, we tried to sign him about four or five times in the past under Brands. He was an underage Man City player, and Brands tried to sign him on multiple occasions, and we never could get a deal over the line. And he's just developing into a really good centre half for me now. But like, Fulham are no great shakes, and not that we are either, I suppose, you know, the kind of way, but I suppose it was just hope and expectation and just wanting them to get over the line, wanting us to get into a semi-final to give us that sight of Wembley, you know, the kind of way, because just imagine, you know, going into like a year and a half or a season and a half left in Goodison Park, and you have a semi-final on the horizon, Joe, you know, the kind of way were possible. It's just frustrating, Joe, and I know, look, You got it, and it will. As much as I said, I like Onana, it was a dreadful penalty. Absolutely, he should have just put his fucking laces through it, Joe. You know the kind of way. It was not what's easy for me. You know, the penalty kick to take us into a semi final in front of the Gladys Street. Why didn't he just pull his laces fucking through it? Like, did you mention pre pod that their keeper could have gotten down, have a smoke and a cup of tea, and still be able to save the ball? You know the kind of way. It was just a dreadful. Dreadful, dreadful penalty, and you know he as a professional player, geez, you'd think he'd know better, but you know that's the look of us as Everton fans, but it's how we react now, Joe. It's how we react to Saturday, you know, and it's a really, really tough game on Saturday up against a Spurs side that, you know, all attack on Spurs side. And it's how they rest, Joe, and if they can come through and kind of get themselves together again and go again. And look, I'm sure Dyche had a word with them when they went in after the game last night, but it's just so disappointing, Joe. It really was. I didn't think there was any standout players last night. They were just all, as I say, about 5 or 6 out of 10.
Yeah, that's it. Rich, it's just the collective, like, lack of, like, the word you mentioned, the spark. There's just nothing there. It's like they're all leggy and just, I don't know what it was. Listen, it could have been the expectation weighing on them, I don't know, but they just never turned up as a collective. Just so lethargic.
Yeah, and I think the highlight of that, or was when you get the goal to bring us back into it, 8 minutes to go, you say, right, we'll throw caution to me. You know, you'll throw everything at it and you'll get a couple of big, they look more likely than scoring against those than we did at that stage, which was shocking to me. I said, Jesus, how are we not controlling this now and putting pressure on, and after getting a bit of belief, and I suppose at that stage, but look, we got our chance, you know, you're a kick from 12 yards to get over the line, and I suppose it's what we're going to talk about in the game, given that we didn't win, and we all know kind of Onana's personality, and I just don't know that he realised the magnitude of what that kick meant to the club, or could have meant to the club, to bring us.
I think it was more about him last night, him taking that penalty, than it was about us. Like, mm-hmm. he came out during the week after the Burnley game and spoke about the fans, and I deal for these, I deal for that. You don't. Last night, it was all about him. Just plain and simple.
Yeah, and
he wanted to be the poster boy, the glory boy, and he absolutely fucked it up by hitting a powder puff penalty, which, like I said earlier, the keeper could have had time for a smoke. gone out for a piss into Gladys and came back in and still saved it. It was shocking from a professional footballer to hit an absolute. It was a shocking penalty. It was just hell to puff.
Yeah, it's really poor. There's no other way to dress it up. I mean, yeah, if Leno goes the other way, it looks great, but he didn't even meet it right. You know, trying to roll it down the middle, it's just, it's the last kick to put your club into a semi-final. Basically, I know we were kind of saying before, just put power at least, because you saw the ones that Pickford got a hand to, but there was enough power to bring it over the line. And you just want to give yourself every possible extra percentage that you can. And by blowing it down the middle is all he did. You know, it just, yeah, it can look great basically afterwards and beat a man, but I don't think he realised of what that kick could have done to the whole club as a whole. To, you know, and after a poor performance, to still get through, to have a semi-final coming into two big games, and just for a fan base who are united kind of for the first time in a long time, to have something like that, and a penalty shootout as well, kind of gives you that extra little bit, you know, despite it all. It just would have been massive. And yeah, he blew it. He blew it.
Again, we don't want to slate players, but you just have to call it as it is. It was just, I just felt that he was doing it for him rather than the club as a whole. And like you see it week after week when he, after the match, he goes around and he sees himself as a cheerleader and he's banging the chest and he's hissing the badge and all this. That doesn't matter. What you do on the pitch matters. And I just thought he got it so wrong on all levels. And I know lads listen would say, oh, listen, you missed a penalty. Fine, if you missed a penalty, I'm not slating even Garner. But Garner, like, again, I don't know what he took a penalty. Chap can't hit a burned art to save his life. But anyway, like, Onana, just put your absolute power into it. Like you said, spot on. The Pickford got close to a couple of, I think he got a hand on two of them. But the power of the shot took it past him into the net. Do that. Just have a go. And again, it's already looking back the day after now, but just fucking, I mean, we can't turn on players. We just can't. And it's not going, I don't think it's going to happen. But you just have to call it how it is. It was absolutely disgraceful. And I just hope that someone, whether it be Tarkovsky or Deutsch or Coleman or someone, said to him, listen, you're not the main man here. You're far from the main man. It's not about you. Just do your business on the pitch. And then do all that shit afterwards when it works. You know what I mean? You could have ran around naked after the fucking pitch for an hour. But just do what you're supposed to do. Again, it won't turn me against him or turn people against him, but I just thought he got it wrong. He read the room wrong. That's what I think.
Completely. Yeah. And I think, look, not to go all in him, he's young. You know, he's going to make mistakes. Exactly, yeah. And it's, you just want to say, right, yeah, you know, you need to learn from this and you need to kind of say, right, there's a right way and there's a your way. And do the right way and you can do the rest kind of outside of the big, big pressure moments, but just get over the line, you know, and then you can build, there's time and a place for acting the big man. And it's not when you're a kick away from a semi-final.
Yeah. Time and place is after you put it in the net.
Exactly,
Again, as someone said yesterday, it's similar to Balotelli. Balotelli used to act like that at City, but he done the business. So, again, like I said, spot on, he's young. Time to learn, but just stick in the throat. Right, we'll just wrap up quickly with predictions for Spurs. Another really tough one. Colly, again, they're coming at the farm, and Airman Richie is starting to score, so this is going to be a tough, tough ask.
You're right, Joe. You're right. Extremely tough ask. Richie is, I think he's got a few goals now in the last couple of games. Ange Ball, is that what they call it? But he's some really good players, Joe. I genuinely don't fancy our chances at the weekend. I think he's already ruled the Corey out, so you're probably looking again at, will he go to a back flat four? I thought Dan Juma was lively when he came on last night, Joe. And I would possibly consider putting Dan Juma in the Decore role. he has that kind of ability to turn a game, but I can see it's going five at the back again, Joe Percy. If you're looking from a prediction, as much as I hate saying it, Joe, I think our run will come to an end and we'll be beaten 3-1.
Okay, Rich.
Yeah, I think it's a tough ask. Just another away game to try to get another big performance out of it. But I think we sit in, depending on Mikulenko's fitness, of course, because he's kind of key to whether we go five, let's not call it what it is, whether we go five or four. But I've no problem with it because they'll be all there. It kind of suits us. Let him have it, soak it up, and try to hit him on the break. So I'll be optimistic and think that we might pull a one all out of it. If we can get ahead again, kind of similar, that we've something to hold on to, and who knows after that. They're missing a good few with injuries and suspensions as well. Basuma's out, that left back, Ogdoboy is out.
Oh, Dobby,
so
yeah.
So they're missing quite a few, you know. Without Maddison, they haven't been as good. So there's an opportunity there because I think they're not great at the back. It's going forward. So if we can just sit in, and we've been really well organised, frustrated. And I think it's frustrating for a long time. You know, if we can hit 60 minutes and be nil all, we have a good chance, like.
Yeah, I agree. I go one all as well. I just think that looking on the other night, we're flat. We're running out of steam. But I just think, again, a couple of what they have, the injuries and stuff, I think the key, you know, it sounds absolutely ridiculous, and it came to fruition last night. When we concede, first we struggle. I think the key is if we have to score first, because I don't think it's in us to come and change a game and chase the game. So I'm thinking, like we said, keep it tight, even 50, 60 minutes, get the lead, and then just switch to that like flat back five and try and keep the mills up. Anyway, one off for me. Excuse me. Again, hope we're all wrong. Well, hope we're all bang wrong, and we keep another clean sheet and win. Oh, I'm smothered here. Right, lads. Cheers. Thanks very much for today.
Cheers, boys. Weekend.
Talk to you later.
Oh, by the way, happy Christmas, lads.
Oh, yeah, exactly. I don't think we'll actually get a chance to do one. Yeah, I don't think we'll get on a chance to do one before Christmas. So, happy Christmas to you, lads.
Yeah, absolutely.
Happy Christmas. And Chris, and happy Christmas to everyone who listens in and continues to support the pod. Not just for lads coming on talking absolute geek every week, but it just shows the numbers that we get yearly from Spotify and that people actually enjoy listening in. So, happy Christmas and happy New Year. And hopefully, we're talking this when we're top half of the table. See you, boys. Take it easy.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. If you're interested in joining the Irish Toffee Supporters Club, just send an email to memberships@irish-toffees.com or visit our website www.irish-toffees.com. Up the toffees.